Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Broadcasting from the Golden Spread of Texas, this is The Fred Hughes Show. With each episode, we introduce to you an inspiring person or message to help you grow and unlock your potential in life. I'm Fred Hughes, professional photographer, pastor, teacher, author, and your show host. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to this episode brought to you by the Faithful Partners of Decision Ministry. Well, hello, my name is Fred Hughes, and welcome to our live stream tonight. And I'm excited. It's our regular Thursday night live stream, and we transformed that into the Fred Hughes Show. And that can be found almost anywhere where you get podcasts or listen to music. So find us on the deal. Our website, the easiest place to connect and find and hitch up to everything is decision1.org. The word decision, the numeral one, and then .org for organization. So go there, and there's lots of new things. I'm revamping a little bit and adding some new things in there all the time. So go to our website and check it out. Find out what's new and find out how you can kind of get involved with us and get a regular deal. I just uploaded a new newsletter. So you can download that and go to the Wow and Now page. And you can down at the bottom, you can find that link. So there's all kinds of good stuff all over the place. This week we have Brent Campriel.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's been with us before, so he's going to share with us a little bit later on here. And I want to encourage you to come. Every week we have some awesome people in the lineup. I'll tell you, Chris Clark is going to be on the 23rd, which is next week, and then after that there's Todd and Michelle McDaniel. And they are awesome couple that's going to be here. So we've got some great people on the lineup. In fact, I've got, I think, almost all of July and August filled up. And I've got some great folks in the lineup, I guarantee it. So it's going to be exciting. And so I'm excited about all of that. So keep in touch with us and keep coming back on Thursdays. If you'll type in something from whatever platform you are watching us, and there's four different platforms out there that we're streaming to at the moment. So you can type in a message and we'll try to get back to you. If you we'll try to watch that for you and see and try to respond to some of the questions that might come in even tonight. So type in a question or an answer or a hi, how are you, or whatever from wherever you come from. And anyway, we'll get on with the program here, because it's just, I can't wait to hear what Mr. Brent has to say. He's been off out running around and I don't know where all, but he's back with a good report. So I'm going to turn him loose and let him talk to you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So thank you so much for allowing me to be back on here graciously. I appreciate it. Love had it. An amazing time last time I had an opportunity to be on here. So thank you for that opportunity again. And yeah, I have been all over the place. I've literally been all over the place. So I've been out to Alabama. I've been to Florida. Oh, wow. And just kind of given some backstory on what happened to kind of tell the viewers and stuff like that. My grandmother and grandfather were in the ministry, and they created a legacy, and they did the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And it was called the Ministry of the Miraculous.
Oh, wow.
They had a church, and, you know, giving you some of the backstory. I won't go into all the details of that, you know. And so
it's cool,
being raised in the church since a knee high to a grasshopper. I was in there probably until about 8 or 9 years old. And then, you know, my mom had ended up taking us out and kind of went down a different path. You know, she was a worship leader that was in the church, and, you know, just, my uncle also was a pastor.
Oh, wow.
There too. And so, as a result, the battle kind of went on in their lives. And so he ended up, just kind of walking away from the ministry. Mm-hmm. And my mom didn't pursue a career in music. She had a beautiful voice and stuff, so she decided to go to a different route. Still to this day, you know, my family is coming around here, and my mom's one of my biggest supporters.
Oh, wow, that's good.
She loves it and so loves what I'm doing and stuff like that. But to continue that legacy there. So I was out in the world many years without a savior. It's no place to be without in the world without a savior, you know. And
especially
so,
not now.
No, definitely not. And so... as a result, many years later, I've come into the calling of God on my life, and really had an opportunity to come into identity and realize who I was in Christ, and be able to walk in the fullness of that. And that all started with those roots in my grandmother and grandfather's ministry, through a lot of prayers and through a lot of things they wanted to see their grandchildren kind of walk in that. And so I'm excited to say that I'm starting to come into the destiny that God's always called me to come into. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, had an opportunity to give up some things so I could be in a position to be where I'm at today. And so as a result, I left to go on the road as an evangelist, and had an opportunity to go across the country and just submit to what God was doing. But prior to that, before that, I experienced some things here in Texas, right in this town in Amarillo. God was kind of doing some amazing things. And you know, I kind of give all the glory to Jesus for that. And it was experiencing encounters left and right of the miracles and the things that Jesus just wanted to do through somebody that just believed. And I just, you know, Fred, I just believe him for his word. I believe that face value. I believe that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, which means he never changed. And I believe that he wants to do this through his people, and he's looking for somebody to perform his word on earth and believe it. And so I just believe it. I just believe it. And now it makes sense why I felt the resistance I felt a lot in the battle I faced throughout my life when nobody really could give me any answers. You know, I sat in front of some leaders. I sat in front of people in the world. I sat in front of some of the best speakers and, you know, that were in the secular world. Nobody could give me any answers. I sat in front of pastors and they couldn't either. And so as a result, I've got the answer, you know, and it's because I am where I am today. It's because of my faith in Jesus and what he has called me to do. Good. So I want to testify about some things. I want to let you know. And just to know, let the viewers know of what went on. Before I left, I had a group of people that were here to kind of pray for me because I was headed around the country. I was headed out to Alabama and I was headed out to Florida after that to be able to preach the gospel, to be able to go into these churches and communities and just really let God do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, be in front of people. And so I have a very supportive wife on that. And so a group of people like Fred here surrounded me with prayer, and many people spoke prophetic words over me. And I wanted to tell you that actually the first half of the journey, pretty much all of them had come true. And
oh, really?
they were fulfilled in that aspect there. I hadn't had a lot of prophetic words spoken over me prior to coming to Texas, but I did in this season. So that was exciting to hear and see and watch. And I thank you guys for all your prayers. So whenever I would go into a different region or territory, I learned from a pastor, you know, his name is Robert Morris. He's out of Dallas. And he had said that he went into a different region one time and he just wasn't prepared for that because there is a resistance. You know, there's something that's called spiritual warfare. And so as a result of that, I wanted people praying for me. And so these guys just did an amazing job at just showing up and being there and mm-hmm. praying over me. And so I thank you guys for that. And so going across the country And so I think it's important to notice this, because I was like, well, if there's a lot of things that I believe Jesus wants to bring back to the church. Mm-hmm. And so if Justin Timberlake can bring sexy back, I can bring testimonies back. And I believe that it's an important part of what we do, because, you know, that gives God the glory, and mm-hmm. he's still doing amazing things,
yeah.
you know, and you're going to hear some of them tonight, of what God has done. And the days of altar calls are coming back. The days of 30-second sermons are going to be over. And I believe that there's a revival. I believe that there's a remnant of people. And I believe that God has called me to be one of those people. Mm-hmm. That's a remnant of people that believe in his word and just go and do what he says to do. And you'll see greater things. Mm-hmm. So when you look at a passage, you know, in the word of God, John is actually in prison at this time, and he's sending his disciples. It's in Matthew 11, verses 1 through 5. John's in prison, just like most people are in prison. You know, they get visitation rights, and so his disciples come to see him. He sends two disciples out, and he sends them to go find Jesus. Jesus is out there performing mighty miracles, and things are happening and things are being stirred up. And so they end up finding him, and they end up asking him a question. Are you the one that we've been looking for? And, you know, he doesn't go and say a lot about, hey, I am Jesus from heaven. He doesn't say, hey, I am, here's my character. This is what you should look for. You should know. But he talks about six things, and he talks about six miracles. So he talks about that the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the dead will be resurrected, and that can be in spirit too, you know. And so as an encounter that's happening there between these two, Jesus sends him back and says, go back to John and tell him everything that you've seen and heard. And so what you've seen and heard. So basically he's going back to tell him, hey, testify of what you've seen. And so that's what I want to do. I think that's important. To testify about some of the things I've seen and heard. And I'm encouraged. I'm excited about it. I want you guys to just, your faith to go through the roof, because mine is. And the reality of what I experienced is very real. And not only has it set me ablaze and set me on fire, but I'm just experiencing a lot of cool things come in from testimony. Still from me coming back here, there was one that was posted in my Facebook. I have, you know, audio and visual stuff of things that went on and stuff. So I just want to share some stories with you. And as a result, you know, Revelation 12:11 says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right. So it's the word of their testimony. And so I want to testify, obviously. And because I've been running for weeks on end, I haven't had an opportunity. This isn't fresh. So I'm going to have to look and remember some of the things that, you know, I experienced and stuff like that, because we just got back from, actually we'll probably be on, you said again, we just got
back. Yeah, I'm going to have you guys back in, and they've got some really cool stories coming up too. So
yeah.
Him and his wife back on a little bit later on.
Yeah. So the reason why, I personally went out there to Alabama is because we started our ministry on January 4th. It's called Capstone Ministry. It's a ministry of the miraculous. So it's a sequel to what happened in New England for my grandmother and my grandfather's ministry that was up there. And because of what was going on in the body of Christ, so many different places in the world, I wanted to have accountability. I wanted to have wise counsel. I wanted to have oversight. Proverbs talks about their safety and having many wise advisors and stuff. So I wanted wise advisors. I wanted insight. You know, if you're the smartest one in your group, it's time to find a new group, you know? So if you're the wisest one in your group, it's time to find a new group. If you're the most anointed one in your group, it's time to find a new group.
Yep.
So I was going there. And I just heard the voice of the Holy Spirit tell me, call them and meet with them. And so I picked up the phone, called them and told them, hey, like, I believe that I'm supposed to come and meet with you. I believe that God sent me across the country and he's going to do only what he's going to do. I've experienced some miracles, and I've experienced some things that I've not, used to seeing. This is kind of all new to me. And, but I would love to be able to sit down with you and kind of, find a little bit more about your ministry. Now, only 10 years ago, I was actually in position to, be at this ministry, and that's how I knew them. I knew them prior to this. And there, I've always felt that, if there was going to, so right now we have a ministry, we don't have a church, you know, there's not a place of worship. It's not a building or location. We have a ministry. So we go around the country and our ministry is in different locations. It's actually in four states, New Mexico, Texas, that's West Coast, and then Florida and Alabama's East Coast, due to the locations we've lived and done ministry in those areas. So we were prophesied a while ago that our ministry would be in two different locations. It would be in two different nations or regions, I mean, and that's actually starting to come to pass. So I went over there for oversight, and I did that because I wanted to see how an apostolic church functioned, and it functions much different than a pastoral church does. And so I always felt the heart in that direction, and the calling started coming out in that direction, having an apostolic call, you know, and signs, wonders, and miracles are followed up by the apostolic calling, you know, for 2 Corinthians 12:12 talks about that. Paul talks about that in there. And so, as a result, I wanted to go over there. And so I called them up and they were happy I called. And so they just did a beautiful job at welcoming me. And I went across, you know, the country driving, and it was an exciting time to get away. And my name was even on a welcome sign. I thought, man, that is so gracious, you know, welcome neat. Brent to Alabama. And so it was pretty cool to be able to see that and experience that. And I was just really, 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 my heart was warmed by how I was welcomed, and I had an opportunity to kind of just fit right in. They felt like family. And so it was just awesome to be able to see what we call them, Papa Gary and Mama Jean. That's really what their calling is. But they have an apostolic call, and they've built this church. They've been in ministry for many years. She actually was a lawyer. I believe he was, you know, pretty high up in the company that he was at. I don't know if it was a CEO or not. I don't remember the details, but it was just a pleasure to be able to meet them again, see them again, and spend some time with them and just pick their brain. And so I actually went there, you know, so that I could be poured into, because I wanted some more answers to questions, and I felt like that was the direction to go. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. And now I know why he told me to go there, because I got him. I didn't expect to be used like I did, but it was just an honor and a pleasure. And so we're going there, and I'm able just to fit right in. And what I saw there, which was beautiful, was a level of surrender that I have not seen in the country. And so they were just really, really hungry. They were so hungry. I mean, it was unbelievable. And they, you know, they're resilient people. They've gone through a lot of traumas, a lot of brokenness. There was a lot of things that were going on in people's lives. But one thing I know is they were there. They were there constantly whenever that those doors were open. And it just was really cool to be able to see that. And so as a result, I had an opportunity to get to know people there and the ministry leaders. I loved how they didn't have titles. I loved how they functioned together. I loved how I could jump right in, and I could sit back, I could watch, or I could jump right in. And there was no resistance in that.
Yeah. And that represents a very mature leadership. And not all churches have that, but that's good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Awesome. So it was just amazing to see. It was different than what I've seen sometimes in the past. Let's say that, you know.
Well, you have churches. I mean, it's kind of funny, but the fivefold ministry is not. It's not always present in all of the churches that you go to, and they don't, and therefore you don't have a representative of one of those things. The problem is that, and I hate to say this, but who gets paid is the senior pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He may be a pastor, he may not be a pastor. Mm-hmm. In the case you're talking about, it's probably an apostolic leadership. Mm-hmm. And other places you'll wind up some prophet, a prophet is being holding the pastoral position, you know. And so it's a little confusing because each one of those minister a little bit differently. And whenever you don't have the, you know, all of those gifts or several of those gifts present so that people can begin to understand the functions of each one of those roles, it's more difficult because they're looking to a person that's not pastoral at all a lot of times as their pastor.
Yep.
And so it creates a bit of a confusion that shouldn't really be there. We should be able to, you know, esteem each of those gifts and honor one another. And
yeah.
So that's a, unfortunately, it's not the way it functions.
Yep. Yeah. And I love, you're right. And I love how, you know, leadership rises and falls from the top and how they've created, something like really special here. And what they've done is they've really equipped the saints there and they've got leaders in positions where they can, they've put their giftings,
you know, and so that's apostolic order.
The order that they actually have. You know, when you see it, it's, you know, it's from God because, you know, God didn't create the fish and be like, oh man, where's the water?
No,
I really blew this thing. You know what I mean? He's got order when he does it. And so, yeah, it was amazing to see. It was amazing how I was received. And, you know, I already came with an expectation. And I had a high expectation. I already knew God was going to do what he was going to do, but I never anticipated. And when I say this, I never anticipated the level of what I experienced out there. And so I'm going to testify about that.
God's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm excited. I'm excited, y'all. I'm more excited than I might even be letting on. So, yeah, I'm going to go into here and I'm going to pull up some stories, you know, and I'm going to read from Hebrews 11:8, first of all. I don't want to paraphrase it, so I want to get into a lot of times. I know a lot of scriptures from the beginning to the end, or if not, I just don't want to paraphrase it. So it says this. I want to start off with this. Love the word of God. I love carrying a sword. I love carrying the Bible, which is a sword. So Hebrews 11:8 says this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was received as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And so I was just being obedient to what God told me to do. And I went out somewhat knowing where I was going, but quite often I ended up in places I had no idea that I was going to go to. And it was exciting. It was exhilarating. It was captivating. I was in spots where I had to depend upon nothing but the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit that was there. And you know, the king's heart is like a river. He guides it wherever he pleases. So he was just kind of guiding me and guiding my direction and guiding my path and putting me in front of people that he wanted me to be in front of people. This journey was not only just for me, but it was for others too, which I anticipated, but not at this level. So the first thing I'll say this is a faith that's not tested is no faith at all. And what do I mean by that? I'll soon kind of tell you with this, but that was the last thing I heard, driving in my trip in the car, coming into 8 Mile, Alabama, which I knew nothing really about, in Pritchard. And, I heard Derek Prince say that I was just finishing up a teaching. I'd had an opportunity to get on the road and stuff, hear worship and teachings and, just listening to the Bible app inside there. And so a faith that's not tested is no faith at all. And so I get to Alabama, I get to the church, I drop all my stuff off. It's late. I'm hungry. I want to go eat. And so I go out to a Waffle House. Waffle Houses are really the only thing that's open that late at night. And then I get to the Waffle House and I walk inside and I sit down and I'm asking, all right, God, here's the start to the trip. Do only what you can do. Do the miraculous. And I believe in it, you know. Faith is pretty important in these situations. It's not a dispensation. It's not a doctrine. It's not a movement. I've heard it said that, but you know, the just live by faith. That's how we're justified. It's impossible to please God without faith, it says in Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Hebrews also talks about having an evil heart of unbelief. And so I just believe God would do what he wanted to do. So I walk inside there and I sit down, and inside there is, there's quite a few people that are inside the Waffle House. And so I see two cooks, they're two females. They're in front of me there. I order and I eat. Probably about 10 minutes later, the whole place clears out. It's like God just emptied out this whole place, and he just cleared it out and to do only what he's going to do. And so I had an opportunity. The two cooks turned their backs to me, Bree and Vi, and I had an opportunity to present the gospel to them. It's the realest gospel I know. And so I'm walking them through the process and telling them about RBF. Fred, we call it at Capstone, we call it repent, believe, and follow. You know what I mean? And that's the key to salvation. You know, Jesus said, repent and believe. Acts 3:19, it says, therefore repent and be converted so that times of refreshing may come upon you and that your sins may be blotted out. So repentance is a huge key when it comes to the gospel. And so I'm explaining repentance to them. I'm explaining the goodness of God and the belief behind it. And man, they're just so hungry for it. And you know, everybody's cleared out and they're facing me at that time. And so an opportunity to lead them to Christ. And so they just get saved there. And by the time I'm done with the prayer, it's probably just at the end. And in comes this guy, and he comes in the door. He says, oh, that's so beautiful. What were you doing? And I said, I was just, you know, presenting him the gospel. He said, have you ever heard it? He said, no, tell me. You know, so they just get saved. Now he's saying to tell me, well, remember, a faith that's not tested is no faith at all. And so his name was Derek. He comes and sits down, and then I was just about to present the gospel to him. And he said, hey, where are you staying, Brent? And I said, well, I'm staying in 8th Mile and Pritchard. He said, oh, no, 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 bro. You cannot stay there. You will die. You will die. That place is one of the worst on earth. And he says, look at this. Two people just died today, and another one of the servers walked up and said, yeah, he's right. Look at this. And so she sends me this. And so remember, you can remember, I don't know exactly where I'm going, right?
Yeah, right.
At all, you know? And so at that point I could say to myself, where did I go? What happened? I've got a wife at home, you know, but I know if God calls me, he's going to provide everything for me. Sure. And I told them, you must not know my God. You said, you know, God, but we can't know the same one. And I said, because where he guides, he's going to provide everything for me, you know, and includes protection.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, he kept saying, no, 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 man, I'm telling you, you do not want to do that. You do not want to do that. So finally I just said, hey, man, I'm going to tell you that I'm confident in where I'm going. I don't come into agreement with what's going on. And there was another girl that was across the way. She said, I rebuke that. None of those things are going to happen to him. He's not going to die, you know? And so finally he just got up and left. But a faith that's not tested is no faith at all.
Yeah.
So my faith was tested that very moment that I got there,
imagine,
you know, from the very start. Yeah. I got there, you know, I could have said, oh, what did I do? This is crazy. Maybe I'll get a hotel, or maybe I'm not going to go into this area and stuff like that. And so that's how the whole trip ended up starting out. And then after that, I had an opportunity to speak the next day. And so I had an opportunity to preach in there. And they just came surrendered. They're so hungry. And so the altar's open. And so I preached about revival. I preached on God's word. I preached on repentance. And then I just gave a call to come forth, an altar call. And so, you know, the altar's open, the place is packed. And it's not because of what I preached, it's because they're hungry. It's because that atmosphere has already been set in their conducive. They believe that God's going to do what they can do. And so they came down there, and from there on out, I just saw so many miracles, you know. And so I hadn't anticipated that. And so I ended up praying for a young lady, and when I was praying for her, I'd said, I see that your identity is broken, and I see that you know, you're really wanting somebody, but God's going to bring that certain person to you one day. It's just not the time. It's not the time. His heart's not right. You know, he has to go through a refinery. And, but I also see that you don't know who you are in Christ and your identity. And I want to help you with that. And so I prayed over her, and she ended up getting delivered right there. She ended up, getting freedom from those things. And, deliverance was a really big thing that I saw on there. It happened quite often. It was actually a lot of, prophetically of what you spoke, you know, and others spoke to me on that trip that I'd see healings, and I'd see deliverances. And I saw a lot of that. And, you know, she, so when I turned back around, I talked to her and I said, I see you just robed in purple. You know what I mean? And so as I'm praying for strongholds to leave her mind, she kind of just slowly goes down to the ground, and God just works, you know, what he's doing with her. The presence of God is touching her. And I turn around and I go to walk away, and I'm praying over somebody else. And, you know, this woman ended up getting healed. And I turn around, Fred, and as I turn around, I look at her, and she's actually under this purple robe, you know. And I, as I turn around, I just saw it. That's what I told her only minutes before that, is I just see you robed in purple, you know. And I ended up taking a picture. It was so beautiful. And the mother came over and just put her arms around her. And then the mother asked for prayer, and she had an opportunity to be delivered to as well there, you know. And this is just right after service, and so it just went on and on and on and on and on. And that was okay with me, because I just wanted to stay there. And I'm, like, my heart is for the lost and the broken, you know, and Jesus healed often out of compassion. I have compassion for people, yeah. Because I was lost and broken, you know. Absolutely. I was headed down the wrong path. And so, as you can probably see, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm very bold at what I say. And,
oh, that's
and,
good.
And so I don't worry about, you know, what some people talk about. I'm not shy to talk about sin or hell or tongues or sex or deliverance, mm-hmm. or demons on there, because, well, I think it's, you know, part of the gospel.
Matthew 15:21-28. And then again, over in Mark 7th chapter, it talks about deliverance being the children's bread.
Yes,
sir. In other words, it's part of what Jesus paid for on the cross. Mm-hmm. It's part of the package of our salvation. Mm-hmm. And so from time to time, really all of us need to be set free from things. We have little oppressions or little demonic things or just, you know, just needs, mm-hmm. of getting set free from those things that bind us. Paul talks about, you know, taking off every yoke,
yep.
and throwing it aside so, yeah. that you can run the race.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, this is, there's a great part of deliverance is manifesting. I think people are being called at this very time, because I believe that, There's a great need for the ministry of deliverance,
mm-hmm.
Really across all of the kingdom right now, because of several things, but because I believe we're in the end of the end, the last of the last days. I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe that right now there is released a huge renewal or reformation or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yes, sir. And
so there's, you know, we back into my Baptist days, we called it revivals, you, yep. know, and whatever you want to tag it with.
Yeah.
It's a move of God that's happening, I believe, now.
Yep, it is.
And this is a real key element in it, in that there's so many people that have been captured. Deliverance means, the best picture I have is it's like a hook that's been snapped into you and caught you and dragged you away. Mm-hmm. A hook in your mouth, if you will, mm-hmm. that can pull you away from the godly life you need to be reading.
Yeah.
And so everybody has need some time of that. It's the children's bread. It belongs to us.
It sure does.
And so a lot of Christianity looks at it and says, that's weird. And sometimes it gets kind of weird looking.
Yeah.
But it's God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the book.
Yeah.
And people need to read about it and understand it and not be fearful of it. We need to de-spookify it.
Yeah, for sure. And if we could do that, if people would just spend more time saturating ourselves in, yeah. the word and understanding what he says about it. You know, I mean, one third of Jesus' ministry was deliverance.
That's
from
right.
whatever it is. It's healing. It's just healing. Exactly. You know what I mean? And you know, he spoke often that in my name,
yes, sir.
They will cast out demons. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. And so So yeah, I mean, you're right about that, and I see there's a remnant of people that are rising up to do that because there's such a high level of sin on the earth now that demonization is, you're starting to see it more and more and more, you know, and it has to be dealt with. I mean, if people want freedom. You would be surprised how many more people are hungry when I talk to them. I can talk to total strangers. And they're open now about it because they've experienced these things, mm-hmm. you know, and they're experiencing, you know, a lot of encounters in mm-hmm. these situations, and they want answers. They want freedom. And, you know, I mean, I just said to myself years ago, because nobody ever told me about some of the things that could have helped me in life and given me any direction. Right. I had to have seen a Christian before I was 32 years old,
right?
You know, and I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to be radical. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to have courage. Matter of fact, I talked to a girl yesterday in the gym here about it. God sent me back inside there and said, hey, the Holy Spirit told me you're sick. Are you sick? And she said, yeah, actually I am sick. And she's like, and so they also told me that you have a desire of your heart that really wants to be fulfilled. And she turned around and looked at the other girl like, what is going on? She said, you know, and so she just got rocked by God wanted to touch her. And so later on, she told me that she has kids that she's, you know, trying to get custody of, you know. And then the very last thing I told her is, hey, that guy's not the guy for you. And she said, you're right. You know, he said he keeps driving by my house, and I told him no. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to really grip this next generation, and they want to hear God. They want to know him. They want to experience him. They want to encounter him. Sure. They've heard stories. Yeah. They've heard a lot of Christians talk the talk, but they haven't seen a lot of them walk the walk.
Yes.
And so I just don't want to be one of those guys, you know? And so, yeah, I went on to see miracle after miracle after miracle, Fred. I mean, it was just amazing that the doors that opened up. We went to this guy's house, and I went with Mama Jean over there, and in this guy's house that was in a wheelchair, you know, and he got there, he was just broken, no faith, just, man, he had been hit by a car, was really, really bad off, you mm-hmm. know. And she said, I want you to bring you over here and pray for him. I said, let's do it, let's do this, you know. And so ended up praying for him, had an opportunity to talk to him, kind of get some roots of some of the things. A lot of what we do in Capstone is healing ministry, so we get to the roots, we get to the trauma, we get to the problems, and we get them repented of, we get them renounced. And you know, we had an opportunity to bring life. Jesus just brings him life. And so I said, you ready to get up out of this thing? And he had his hands like this when I remember when I first got to him, and his hands couldn't move, his feet couldn't move. And he said, yeah, I'm ready. You can see the faith. You can see the faith run through his. And so we started praying for him, and his hands started moving like this, you know. I said, could you do that? He said, no, sir, I could not do that. Looking down, you know, and there's another witness there. Mama Jean was there, and his feet started moving. I said, back this wheelchair up. Let's get you out of this thing, you know. And so so we back him up, and I'm just praying over him, praying over his legs, praying that God would do only what he could do, the strength, and that, yes, sir, you know, by his stripes, he's healed, you know. And Psalms 107:20 said, sent forth his word and healed them, delivered him. And so we're praying for him. Let's get you up out of this thing. So I pull him up out of the chair. And man, he just walked, and I had him, obviously I had a hold of him, because he just took off. I mean, he literally just took off, and he came running into my arms, and I think he had more faith than I did. I felt bad afterwards. I was like, if I let this guy go, what's going to happen here? You know? And so man, he was trucking, and I was like, I think I made the mistake of actually holding on to him. You know, this guy might've had more faith.
I think that's what Jesus said every once in a while. He would catch somebody like that, and he says, your faith healed you. You
know? Yeah.
I didn't have to put out any effort at all.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's them for sure. You know, really? I mean, I know I'm the messenger and I'm responsible for it. I have the faith. But yeah, absolutely. And so, man, you know, you could just see the atmosphere shift. You could just see everything change in him afterwards. And man, he was just so thankful. He went through the roof. And so it was just one thing after another, after another, after another, you know. And ended up being that, you know, there was another girl that was there, and she got delivered from smoking after 25 years. Wow. And she testified on it. It was on Facebook. And then there was another encounter where a woman had been holding on to unforgiveness, and she couldn't forgive God, and she couldn't forgive herself, and she couldn't forgive her mother. And so as we got to the root and we found that out, you know, I just explained to her, you know, Jesus said simply, if you cannot forgive others yourself, I mean, I can't forgive you, you know, and you know, you want that. And he wants to, he loves you. You know, I mean, it's what he died for you for that, you know, and so it's not worth it. Don't hold on. So she's like, it's not, you know, and I'm ready to just let it go. And so she let it go. As a result, let it go. She got delivered right there too. You know what I mean? And just weeping and crying, and like, she had never experienced anything like that. And so she tells me this the very next day, I believe it was, or maybe the day after that. She said, I must have sent out 75 text messages to my mom.
Wow.
And she's not replied back, just a broken relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the very next day she texted her, she replied back after that. And she said, I'm proud of you and I love you.
Praise God.
You know, see, that unforgiveness was holding her mother bound too. Not only her, but her mother bound. As that came, freedom came. Yeah. Now the relationship's starting to be restored. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I just saw so many amazing things as a result of just being there. And there was this sweet woman that I prayed for her back, and she was walking in, she was bent over, and she straightened right back up. And, you know, sometimes even, you know, God's going to do it, and you have faith, you know, even sometimes you can be shocked yourself, you can be shocked. Absolutely. And so I saw her like that. And she actually left a message on my Facebook. I think she put it on the Facebook, that she has been delivered from rejection. Me and another ministry leader prayed over her, and she was struggling with rejection. And now she doesn't have that at all. There's none of those voices. And so a lot of times these voices will leave, you know, it's just purely presence of evil, you know, and God wants to restore us from these things, you know, and send us back on the right path. And so, her back was healed. We prayed for her. She was looking to get into an apartment, and she just could not get into any apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we prayed for her, and there's this one apartment that she really loved, and she got into it like 2 or 3 days later. You know, they approved her. So it was just awesome to be able to see.
He even takes care of those little things.
Hey, listen,
I want to stop right here. I want to kind of point my little fingers right out here into our audience. And I want you to know that what Brent is talking about is for Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostals and everybody. It's not it's for any believer. Okay. Whenever Jesus took the 12 in, you need to read what he sent them out to do: to heal the sick, cast out demons, and to preach the good news. Okay, that's what Brent is talking about, and that deliverance is part of salvation. That he paid for that at the very same time. Okay, read Isaiah 53 and learn, but. You know, it's wonderful. Now, whenever Brent was talking about moving in a gift of the Spirit, now that's at the first part of it is pre-Pentecost, okay? Mm-hmm. And then after he gets a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody and gives that out, that comes from the giftings that God also has for us, in addition to what he gave us to begin with. So we're talking about the first part of this, deliverance and healing and deliverance and preaching the gospel in power. That all came before Pentecost ever came along. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any believer can do this stuff.
Yep.
You just have to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And not listen to some of the teachings that you've been given by the doctrines of men, because they're not always right. But this doctrine is always right.
Yes.
And so I just want to make that clear, because it is so powerful to know that every Christian has this kind of power.
Yeah.
We just don't walk in it because we don't believe the word enough. And so when you go out, I would highly advise you getting filled with the Spirit and born, you know, and empowered by the Spirit, just the way they did in Acts chapter 2 from there on. But you don't even have to do that, and you can walk in an awful lot of power.
Yeah, thank you for putting it in there, you know, because of the time, and we can't always get every detail in, and that's important. You know, I mean, I was praying, Fred, now that you said about it, I was praying before I left So one of the ways that a few people have asked me how I've been so effective, and I don't think it's man, you know, I believe it's God, and I believe I spend time abiding in him. And if I abide in him, which means dwell, then he said, if I abide in him, he abides in me, I can ask for anything. And so I went asking, and I asked him, I said, Lord, this is something I've done in the past, but give me this gift in a greater magnitude to be able to reach people. See, my heart's right. I want to reach people. And so I wanted words of knowledge. I think that's one of the best gifts that you could ever have on the planet, to know something about somebody so deeply and so intimately that they are like, how does this person know about me? Because then they realize they've had an encounter with the real, living, and true, and one and only God, Yeshua, Mashiach, Jesus. And so I prayed before I left there that I would literally get words of knowledge to be able to work in this, because you want to get to the roots of things. And so I don't know these things, but God does. He's the creator of that person. So he knows these things. And so he wants to touch the heart. And so as a result, I prayed and prayed and prayed through that process. And man, Fred, I tell you what. So when I landed there, this ministry is already operating prophetically. You know, it's very, very high prophetically. And this is something I'm new, I'm getting used to. But my prophetic antenna went through the roof. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I told myself things about myself I didn't even know. You know, and so, and that was all because he wanted to reach people. You know, man can't do that. Again, only God can do that. So the power of the Holy Spirit is just... that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, he said he'll guide you into all truth. You know, so the truth is they needed to know those things about themselves, and this is what's keeping them bound.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I love that. I love that. I was so excited about that. And everywhere I went, and since I've come back, it's just been heightened. And I'm excited about that. I love that. I love that gift. It's a beautiful thing. And you know, when I see the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I want all of them. Yeah. That's one thing I'm going to be greedy about. I really do want all of them.
Well, I'm not going to be humble. The desire, the better gifts.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You don't have because you don't ask. You know, so in Matthew. So yeah, it was amazing to be able to see that and experience it. And then I would say to people, also, you know, you never know how you're going to be used. And when you obey, when you surrender, I mean, I know that's an S word a lot in the church. Yeah. It's like a swear word out or a cuss word out in the world. You know, the church doesn't like to hear that S word, surrender, a lot of times. No, I mean, I'm just being honest. And so, but when you do surrender, when you're obedient, and I'm not saying that I always did that. I am at a place now. It's taken me 16 years to get there to be able to do it, but I'm surrendered to God and what he wants to do. But when you're like that, you never know how you're going to affect or impact other people too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know on this journey I would be in a position. So I ended up going to grab my friend, Mike Joyner. He has a ministry in Florida and just an amazing ministry. He's all over the community. He has his reach and his impact is really big and stuff. And so I went to go grab him and talk to him and sit down with him in Florida. But I never thought I would have an encounter like this with him. And so I get out there and we're excited to see each other. We're laughing, we're joking. And he says, Hey bro, we call each other bro, short for brother in Christ. And hey bro, man, you know, like I've been in a couple small accidents. Can you anoint my car? You know, and he'll probably even tell you this too. And I said, yeah, sure, I can do that. And I said, let's just pray over it right now. And so I grabbed the anointing oil, as I believe in anointing oil too, put in my hands, you know, and in scripture, you know, in Exodus and chapter 30, he talks about the anointing oil. Right. They anointed, you know, the sick. On James 5. Mm-hmm. And so I put anointing oil on my hands, and I had never done this before. And I went and I put it on my hand and I put it back in my pocket. Usually I'll give it to them it's a roll and I'll anoint their hands. And stick your hand out for a minute. Will you stick your hand out? Oh. And so what I did is I went with Mike and I said, here, let me do it. And as soon as I grabbed his hand, I swiped him. I did that. And he looked at me and he goes, whoa, bro. Wow, you've been places. Wow, what's going on? He immediately felt something. Yeah. Now, backing up, he said the Holy Spirit had told him before we met that there was a word that he was given that was going to happen. And he didn't want to tell me. I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Let the Holy Spirit just do it. And he had a word. And so when I swiped that and did that, I told him that's a commission. That's an impartation that happened to you. And he goes, that's the word. That's what I wanted to tell you. So God wanted to do something in others because I was obedient and just stepped out. I had no idea. And so when that swipe took place, whatever, there was a transition of what God wanted to do in his ministry there. And he just sat there and his hands started shaking. And he said, whoa. And he didn't know what else to say. He'll even tell you this. Whoa. He said, what's going on? Whoa. You know? And so, Jesus just wanted to do another thing. And so he went around anointing the car and he's still shaking and whoa. And so, but little did he know that that was, what the Holy Spirit wanted to do there. He would go on to Alabama with me and we would go on to do deliverances over there. Sometimes all night. There was a time that we got out of the service at 12 and we just prayed for people afterwards. When an evangelist comes in, they're looking sometimes and they're hearing these things and miracles have taken place. They look to go to that person a lot of times. I like this church and this, you know, ministry because they have other people that can function like that, but they'll want to go to the person typically. And I understand that.
Absolutely.
I understand that. And so that's what was happening. So a lot of people waited around, you know, and I ended up having to pray for them and Mike did too. But we started church at 10. And then we went into a ministry leadership program for they train people up, they equip people in like 5 or 6. And little did we know from there on out, I mean, we were praying for people all night until 8 o'clock the next morning. And he needed that. He jumped right in, got hands on. And so, you know, when unclean spirits, when they tend to manifest, you know, like I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you know, sometimes you can have an encounter with something like that and they'll speak. And so, all kidding aside, all joking aside, I'll just say, you know, he looked at one time and he said, man, he said, when that happened and that thing spoke, he said, you know, he's a 5th degree black belt, by the way, he kicks people in the face for a living and he gets kicked, you know, and stuff. And so he's a warrior in the world. But when that happened, he said, Brent, you got this. I'll be right back. You know, so he said, I wanted to run out of there, you know, and it was all kidding aside and joking. And so a lot of people got freedom. A lot of people got healed there. And, you know, little did I know that that would ever happen. And another story is there was an apostle that came. And so they actually have 7 churches in Nigeria. Forgive me if that's not correct, but I believe it's 7. And so they have gone overseas. Overseas, this is just normal. I mean, America is the one place that it's not normal. I mean, we're so natural over here. I mean, everybody else already knows that there's a battle for the soul, that we live in a fractured creation and there's a war going on and there's something called spiritual warfare. And I already know that in most every country, you know. Yeah. So we
know a lot more about entertainment.
Yeah. We're far behind. We're far behind in that aspect and stuff. So he was up there, and Apostle Isaiah Kaduri is his name, and he called a couple guys up. He was preaching, and I was the second guy he called up, and he gave me a word. I have all this stuff. I've said a lot of video, but I know we don't have time. And maybe what we'll do in the future, if you're up to this, we'll get some of these people on the phone, or we'll get them online, and they can testify. Okay. You know, so it's just not my word; they can tell you what they experience. Cool. You know, and so. So as a result, he called me up and he said this. He said, the mantle has been passed. Where it had been passed in the future, in the past, is passed on to you now. And he didn't know, you know, everything about my grandmother and her history and stuff like that. And he didn't know that my grandmother had been in the healing ministry like this. Had no idea. You know, and
but God does.
Yeah, but God does definitely. And he said, the road is not going to be easy. That's the second person that said that. The pastor the week before said that too. So those words are mirroring and it hasn't, and I'm sure it won't be. And I understand that. And I don't need it to be, you know, because, you know, he paid a price for me. And, And I'm not justified by my works. I know that. I know I'm already justified by what he did. I know I'm justified by my faith, but I'm getting to work because I want to bear fruit, because that just perfects my faith. And it shows that, you know, you're attached to the
kingdom. Well, Paul said that in this life, there will be trials. wasn't kidding.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at all.
You know, there's another thing that I kind of like to, just in case somebody's watching that didn't understand, but there's, if you recall the story about the woman touching Jesus's, the hem of his garment. So sometimes it's just a point of contact. It's when you're believing that, you know, God to do something for you. Sometimes if you reach out in faith and you touch something, or you come and God brings you in contact with somebody that can get in agreement, or that you can touch, that have that transfer, that anointing that will flow from one place to the other. Jesus said, "I felt virtue flow out of myself."
Yeah.
And it is. It's something. It's a tangible thing that we can't see it with our eyes, but it's very real. Mm-hmm. And in another place, it's talking about the transfer of a mantle, where the old prophet, you know, went up with Jesus on a chariot of fire and threw his mantles down to this other guy. And guess what? The other guy did even more miracles than the first guy did.
Yeah.
Okay. So both of those are scriptural. Both of those things are not weird.
No.
Both of those things are very accurate. And so has there been some abuse around some of that stuff? Yeah, of course. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they're true. It's the truth. And you need to know that. And you need to understand that it's okay to desire a transfer, an anointing to come on you or come to you through somebody else. And that you have the ability to lay, the scripture clearly says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the laying on of hands is a very real ministry in the Christian life.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's an elementary principle in Hebrews 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the scriptures, you see, you know, Ananias was sent to lay hands on Paul for him to regain his sight and be baptized in the Spirit. And so, so this apostle just spoke words over me, and I could feel the presence of God all on me. It's not spooky. It's not weird. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's a shame that a lot of these things get taken and out of context, according to scripture. And, you know, what I decided for myself is I wasn't going to allow what other people's experiences were to dictate what God was going to do in me, mm-hmm. you know, and that he wanted to do a new thing in me, and he wanted to do my own testimony. Yeah. You know what I mean? Absolutely. He wanted me to have an experience. That's exactly what they did. That's why the disciples wrote it down, yeah. is what they experienced, you know, and that's in the Word of God, and it stays in the context of scripture, you know? And so, yeah, he just spoke with me. He said, you know, I'm not sending you out a witness in this ministry. He said, when you feel fire come upon your bones, then that's the time to pray. That's the time to pray. And he said he's sending you with like Jeremiah, fire in your bones. Well, he didn't know that. Like 2 weeks prior to that, I was walking around the house and was telling my wife, I just feel like this fire in my bones, you know? And he didn't know that I'd already felt that before, you know? And so, and this is how, you know, I mean, you listen to what he says, and then you base it upon what the scripture says and stuff like that. And how I judged that was, and how I looked at that and evaluated that is that something that God's already spoke to me about? Is that something that I've already actually experienced?
Absolutely.
And then the very next day that happened, I was sitting down at a table and I felt it come over me. I felt just this unbearable heat come over me. And I knew. Mike and I looked at each other and he said, "What are you feeling?" I said, "I feel that fire he's telling me about. Time to pray." And so we did time to pray, and that's when we went in deliverances all night and healings, yeah. and those types of things, awesome. And stuff like that. So that was super, super, super encouraging. I want to leave you one last thing. There's a couple and they're in Florida. Brittany and Tyler are their names, and it's just been an amazing opportunity to get to know them. And so we walked them through the process of deliverance, and they got healed. And it's just amazing to see this aspect of ministry, because afterwards people are so hungry. And these people now are literally sending text messages. They're delivering other people. They're praying for people. They're going to church. They are studying the word. I mean, I get testimonies and questions and everything. And sometimes, you know, you got to go back to being a new believer and answer these questions that sometimes you even forgot about, you know? And so it's pretty encouraging to be able to see that and experience that and just see that and see the freedom that they're getting. And I'll never forget the last one that we did when we prayed over them. My wife and I prayed over them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there. And they were praying in the language of God. And so it was just so encouraging to be able to hear and see. And so now I just want to encourage everybody. I want to encourage you. I want to stir up your faith that God really wants to do things beyond what you could ever imagine. And in the book of John, it ends at the very end. It says, if Jesus, you know, they couldn't put all the books in this world that would be what Jesus said, what said and done. The whole world wouldn't be able to contain it, basically. And so I'm very detailed on scripture. I believe in the word of God. I study it. You know, I was in seminary, believe it or not, and I walked out of seminary, and because it did become a cemetery for me, I realized that it was, it's not the ivory colored walls that set man or woman apart. It's the nail scarred hands of Jesus Christ. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And so I study the word of God for myself. I allow the Holy Spirit to break it down. He's my teacher, you know, and I don't dismiss the fivefold ministry teachers and ministries. I'm actually at a church. I go every Sunday. I'm consistent in that when I'm not doing things out in the community for Capstone and traveling on the road. But he wants to do more than you think he wants to do. And so I just really wanted to stir up your faith with the testimonies and just encourage you guys and leave you hungry and thirsting for what God can do.
Amen. Amen for that. Well, I'll just tell you what, we have a prayer line, and I'll put that number up, 806-338-2929. And if you'll call, there's people on there speak Spanish or English, either one, they'll minister to you. It's an important part of what we have to offer here. We have the ability for you to touch base with us, both through the comments online and through this prayer line. So we have people that would love to minister to you. They're very well able to minister to you. If you have a need, you hurt, a disappointment, something that you really need to, you know, have a little help with, call that number. If you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, these people can minister to you in faith and help you and lift you up and encourage you and give you good conduct to good information places. At the very least, go to our website, decisionone.org. And so I just want to have Brent close with a prayer to pray over you and just bless you. And then we'll just, we're amazing, but we've already come. At our hour went by awful quick.
It did. I was looking at the clock and I said, man, I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
I'm sure not.
I'm just getting warmed up. But that's it. But
I'm sorry. I kept chiming in. We would have heard more stories.
Oh, no. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Because sometimes the details are there, you know, that need to be.
Well, every once in a while, there's just a little clarification that I want to make sure that people understand where we're coming from. And so it's important, too. So not
yep.
Well, just look right up here sure. And pray for folks and bless them for tonight.
Okay. Father God, I thank you so much for every person that's watching here tonight. God, I pray that your spirit would descend upon them. God, I pray that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, God, that you would just do a new thing in their life, God, that they would experience you, that they would have an encounter, God. your ways aren't our ways, God. Your thoughts aren't our thoughts. They're so much higher, Lord God. And so I just speak a blessing over their life, God. I thank you right now, God. And if there's anything they're struggling with, God, meet the need, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for an opportunity to testify and to spread your word, God. And I pray that they would just have this faith that would shoot through the roof, God. Lord, that they would come to know you. And if there's somebody that's on this podcast or somebody that's seen it that doesn't know you, God, that they would know, God, that you are a good, good God. And Lord God, you have your hand out there. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for them. They are good and not of disaster, to give them a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen." And that's what's going on right now. So God, I just release into the atmosphere, God, your presence and your power. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, sweep through that place. Do only what you can do in the hearts of men, women, and children, God. Sweep through. I pray a spirit of repentance would come through, God. I pray that healing would come upon them. I pray that every stronghold would come down in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I pray, God, that they would come to know you deeper and greater. I pray that they would have an intimate relationship. I pray against religion in this area in the name of Jesus. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And I know that revival is coming. There's a remnant of people, God, that are called to rise up. And when you do that, religion hates it, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that they would know you, not the traditions of men, God. That's the blessing that they really need to know, God. I pray that they would abide in you. I pray, Father, that there's so much work that needs to be done. The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. I pray, God, that they would labor, not in their works to justify them, God, but they would do it out of love, God, out of love, that they would go and bear fruit. That's my prayer for them. God, release them. Release them to do only what they can do, God, in Jesus' name and in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I really sense that there's somebody that's kind of listening in, or that will catch one of the reruns a little bit later on. You've had a couple of little heart problem issues, and you're feeling a little bit off key, and so I just want to speak to that right now in Jesus' name, that we just command those arteries, yes, to clear up. Plaque to just dissolve it on its own, and you not have to go in. But just lay your little hand right on your chest, and have your wife or partner do the same thing, and just agree together that this will not manifest or in get worse, but that you are healed in Jesus' name. He paid for your healing 2,000 years ago at the cross. By his stripes, you were healed. Mm-hmm. So Jesus has already done the work. He's all about healing. It's for you, but you have to receive it by faith. And just say, by faith, I receive it in Jesus' name. For somebody else that's got it's a businessman or a couple that has some fairly large enterprises. You're talking about it's a very large structure that you're talking about building something. And I Jesus just says, yeah, it's kind of crazy around here, but do it. So I think he's a yes and amen God. And for you in particular, grab hold of that. Be careful in your walk, but do it, because he put that in your heart. Mm-hmm. He put that in your heart. He wouldn't put it there if it wasn't the time to do it. And so I just say, lean on your heart, follow after peace. If you have peace, keep plodding right ahead. The minute you don't feel that peace, then you need to bring it to a whole world, and we'll reengage later. But you follow after peace, and that's going to be your guide all the way through this venture. And it will be masterfully successful if you just follow what God's prompting is in your life. So join us again next week, Thursday. Do you have something else, Brent? Did you get a word?
Actually, I did get a word.
Go ahead.
You had a feeling, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So there's somebody that is hearing the voice of suicide, and that's not you. And God loves you, and he's given you life so you could have it more abundantly. John 10:10 says that. And that's not the voice of God. You're precious, and you're more, and your life's about to change. So don't get given that voice. I'm going to pray for you right now. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I just command every unclean spirit that is telling her to take her life, I silence you in Jesus' name. I command you to let her go. Amen. I command those voices to be silent.
Yeah.
And so those voices are not of God. You have no dominion and power and authority when a messenger of God is in front of you. So right now, I command you to silence. She will be free. And who the Son sets free is free,
indeed,
and truly free indeed. And the man that has a bladder and a kidney infection, you're about to get good news from the doctor. You've already gone to him. So hold on to those news.
Amen. Isn't God good?
God is so good.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what.
God is so
good.
Hey,
remember, join us again next week and the week after and the week after. Push those little buttons and ring those little bells and do all that stuff. We need it really does help us to get out the logarithm or whatever it is that that everybody sets up is doesn't work in your behalf unless you do all the little silly things. So blow your whistle. And that, and if you can, you know, share the whole thing with whatever platform you're on, that would really bless us as well. So in Jesus' name, we'll see you again later on. So just go forth, listen to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you and empowers you. And so you can do great exploits in the kingdom. And this is the time. You were created and made for such a time as this. You have what it takes. And don't let the enemy of your soul lie to you and say that you can't, you won't, you'll never, all of that stuff. You get in the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ. And then you act like it. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye. See you later.
If you enjoyed the show today, be sure and get the download and the show notes that we have available for you. If you agree that this is place to be, invite your friends. Use those little buttons to connect us to your Facebook friends and others. And if you have not subscribed, do it today. Check out our free downloads. This is the Fred Hughes Show, signing off.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.